back. We're now at chapter 2 on personal protective equipment. And this time we're going to talk about PPE categories and hazards to consider. The objective of this chapter is to help you understand the variety of categories that you need to consider when selecting personal protective equipment to control risks of hazardous exposures. When selecting PPE, you do need to understand three basic components of a task. First, what is the hazard that the person might face when performing the task? Second, understand what type of PPE would protect that person. And thirdly, select, record, and provide the specific piece of equipment, including make, model, and size, that a person should use. This is the fundamental process of conducting a PPE hazard assessment. This chapter broadly discusses PPE categories and associated hazards that different PPE provide protection for. Resources that go with this chapter will provide you with information on certification for each type of PPE category when available. In the US, when we specify a need for a given performance in a piece of equipment, we do need to make sure that it has received appropriate certification to make sure we're spending our money on something that actually works as you intend. Future chapters will focus on more complicated selection process for chemical protective clothing and then for respirators. So let's start at the top of the body, at the head. If there is overhead work where something might fall onto somebody's head below, or if you're working in areas where there is a risk of hitting your head, such as on equipment, beams, or piping, head protection should be recommended. The traditional hard hat that complies with ANSI Z89.1 is needed. You would select a type 1 hard hat if impacts are anticipated only from above, but if impact may be from above or from the side, then you want to select what's called a type 2 hard hat. And if there are electrical hazards, a class G hard hat protects up to 2,000 volts. Also know that utility workers will need a class E hard hat, which goes to much higher voltage protection. There is another category of head protection called bump caps, which is only to protect the head from incidental contact when in tight spaces. It's important to remember that putting someone in either a bump cap or a hard hat effectively increases the height of the worker, and it does take some time to get used to how tall your head is while wearing these hats. So expect complaints from people that they are going to hit their head on things more often when they start wearing the hard hat, at least until they get used to it. Those are the main types of head protection. If we move a little bit further down in the body, let's talk about eye protection. We do have two main categories of eye protection, either glasses or goggles. Both should protect the wearer from impact, but if there are chemical sprays or fast-moving materials that could get in behind safety glasses, it is recommended to move from glasses to goggles. Safety glasses actually protect the eyes from flying objects, and lenses and frames are tested to withstand the impact of a half-inch steel ball that's moving at 150 feet per second. These are intended to protect the eye from impact. Note that if a worker needs to wear safety glasses because of a possible impact protection, but they already wear glasses to see, their normal prescription glasses must meet the strength requirements of safety glasses to protect the impact of that same ball test. Just putting somebody with their own glasses in putting side shields onto a regular pair of glasses is not going to be sufficient. If you go to the optician or to select eyeglasses, there are true prescription safety glasses that have frames that you need to select so that those will help protect you from the impact, as well as impact-resistant prescription lenses should be ordered for those frames. And then side shields will be put onto those. And those can go off and on depending on whether you're wearing them for personal use or at work. The next category of safety, goggles, are provided to improve protection of the eyes if there are smaller fragments, say if you're grinding on a grinding wheel, because these safety goggles will seal the eye. They come in both vented, which means air comes in, so they fog up a little bit less. Those are for non-chemical hazards. And then they come in non-vented styles, and those are needed if chemicals are part of the hazard. If chemical splashes are possible, then safety goggles are recommended over safety glasses. There are other eye protections for welding lenses and those sorts of things that would be more specific for tasks, but safety glasses and safety goggles are a broad consideration. The next type of protection we want to consider is what we call face protections. Face shields do provide face protection, They typically cover below the chin and up to the forehead, and they extend side to side from cheekbone to cheekbone. These are selected to protect the face against flying debris, chemical splash, explosive power tools, and other hazards. These face shields are more substantial than what maybe people have been wearing during the COVID pandemic, say at the hospital. These have to have enough strength to protect the face against flying debris and chemical splashes. So they have to have impact resistance, and you want to look for a face shield that meets ANSI Z87.1 performance requirements. This is a real deal. Remember that face shields do not provide eye protection. So if somebody needs to wear a face shield and we still need to protect their eyes, we have to use the face shield in combination with glasses or goggles that fit tight to the face. Some face shields are integrated into hard hats, such as with chainsaw protection, to make layering protection easier. Consider gear that will now start combining a hard hat and face protection. So there are devices that are out there when somebody has to wear both. The next thing we'll talk about is hand and arm protection. There actually is no ANSI standard for gloves like there are for eye and face protection. When selecting gloves, it is important to understand the protection need. Do you need the hand to be protected from physical abrasion or chemical protection? These questions are needed to be answered before we select the right material to be used. There are four main groups of gloves that I do want to mention now. First, we have the work glove. Those could be made of leather, canvas, or in some cases, metal mesh. These are not for chemical protection. These are mostly for heat, abrasion, and cut resistance. There are fabric and coated fabric gloves. Again, these are not for chemical protection. These are mostly for dirt protection, as well as to give additional grip strength. So they are some slip-resistant protection that goes on to the coated fabric gloves. The next category of glove materials are these chemical and liquid resistant gloves, and we've got a whole chapter that we'll talk about on that if chemical protection is needed. The last category is insulating rubber gloves, and these are for electrical hazards. If you are a certified electrician or doing work for utility, then there is a whole category of insulating rubber gloves that we're not going to get into in this conversation, but just know that they are out there. The next chapter, we will provide some guidance on how to select glove materials for chemical protection. There's a lot of detail, so we're going to cover that separately. So after we get our hands and arms protected, we do need to look at what do we need to do to protect the body, including the torso. There are some tasks that require protecting the body from additional hazards, including physical hazards such as temperature and tools, as well as chemical hazards. We have to select the material and the body coverage needed based on the hazard that needs protection when we're looking at this category. Body protection can include things like coveralls, vests, including high visibility vests, jackets, aprons, or full body suits. Here are some guidelines for material types. There's a paper type fiber, including Tyvek. It's used for a single use protection against dusts and possibly splashes, but if you are splashed while wearing Tyvek, then you leave the area and remove the Tyvek because it is only a instantaneous protection. It doesn't last for very long with most chemicals. There's also fabrics that are treated wool and cotton. These are comfortable in a wide range of temperatures and they are fire resistant. They do protect against abrasions and rough, irritating surfaces. So, whenever working in areas where there might be a fire or a hot material, wool and cotton are a good general cloth. Duck cotton is heavier than the cotton above, and it does protect against cuts and bruises when handling heavy or sharp, rough materials. Your clothing, you may want to have that out of duck if there are some sharp or heavy hitting areas for the body. Leather is used to protect against dry heat, flames, and sparking. So you'll see people using leather, not just gloves, but also aprons if they're welding or doing hot processes with heat and sparks. The last category of body protection that we'll talk about is rubber, rubberized fabrics, neoprene, etc. There are chemical resistant body protection that are available, same as gloves. The same recommendation to check the fabric with the chemical of concern is going to be recommended. So we'll kind of mention this a little bit when we're doing glove protection. Most often in farming, we don't need to have chemical protection full body, with a few exceptions when we're looking at pesticide mixing. So that's kind of the nutshell of body protection. Hearing protection. When working in loud areas, even for short durations, hearing protection is recommended. This may include either wearing an earmuff or an earplug. The goal of hearing protection is to reduce the sound level at the ear, so inside the ear of the wearer, to below 85 decibels on the A-weighted scale, or below 85 dBA. We do have an entire separate unit on hearing protection. You'll get more details with that. But since it's an important piece of personal protective equipment needed on the farm, we did want to bring it up here again. It is part of our PPE list. Foot and leg protection, moving down the body. We do know that foot and leg injuries can occur in many ag operations. You do want to consider wearing footwear that have protective toes. There are some standards, ASTM F2412 and 2413, or an older ANSI standard Z41. These are included on the materials when you purchase a shoe. It probably is inside the tongue of your shoe as well. These standards require assessing the risk of crushing injuries to the foot. Additional foot and leg protection can include things such as snap-on leggings to protect from high heat when you're doing welding, metatarsal guards to protect the instep from impact and compression hazards, foot and shin guards to protect the lower legs, puncture-resistant insoles on the shoe so that if you have sharp objects on the floor, you don't get a needle going through the bottom of your foot. Electrically conductive soles, we recommend you do not wear these if you're exposed to electrical hazards. These are made to prevent static buildup, but we don't use those for electrical hazards. There are also oil-resistant soles. So if you have an oily work environment, say you have an animal building and you're spraying oil to keep the dust down, there are oil-resistant soles. And there's also electrical hazard shoes. So these are to prevent the wearer from completing an electrical circuit to the ground if there is an electrical short that is happening. So if electrical hazards are important, then there's a whole category of shoes to be selected from for that. The last category of PPE that I want to mention is personal fall protection systems. It is a whole body protection, and it should be included when working at heights. Whenever somebody is working at elevation and there is no handrails, no safety platform, we do need to make sure that personal fall protection system is considered. When working at heights, including any work inside a grain bin with any stored materials inside, a personal fall protection system is needed. The system does require that the person at risk of falling wear the equipment, and that's going to be a harness. So it's going to fit over their body, around their shoulders, and around their legs, and a lanyard that connects the harness to an anchor point. And then that harness is then connected to a structure that has sufficient anchorage that will withstand 5,000 pounds of force. And that's needed to support the force of a falling worker so that we can successfully prevent the person from coming into contact with the ground, as well as a way to retrieve the person who may be engulfed, in this case, inside of a grain bin. On a farm, these systems are recommended for roof work, working at elevation, and when entering grain bins and manure pits. We covered the need to be tied off to a retrieval system when entering confined spaces on the farm in a previous unit. But we did want to mention again that these systems are part of the personal protective equipment. We're going to wrap up this section, and I'm going to leave you a discussion question to consider after listening to this chapter. This might not be doable if you're driving, so come back to this later if you are. I do want you to search the internet for the phrase PPE hazard assessment form and identify two or three of these forms that people are using to conduct a PPE hazard assessment. It should have all of these categories that we just walked through. Examine a couple of these forms and share the links with others and discuss which forms you like the best and why. I'm going to ask that you select a favorite form for conducting And then, what is your favorite form for documenting a PPE hazard assessment? And these may be two different documents, one to help you do the assessment and one to document the assessment. So, play around online, look for PPE hazard assessment, and then we'll come back for the next section.